Take our Bible and turn to Joshua chapter number 6. Joshua chapter number 6. And I'm going to move this down here. And Joshua chapter number 6. Hope you've had a great week this week. And this coming Sunday, I'll just go ahead and let everybody know, this coming Sunday, we're going through our series in the Psalms. And we're going to be looking at the shortest chapter in the Bible, Psalm 117, just two verses. And we're going to be talking about praise and what our praise looks like and how it brings honor and glory to the Lord. And so I'm looking forward to going through that psalm together as we get ever so close to Psalm 119, going through Psalm 119, the longest chapter in the Bible. And so we'll be going through that on Sundays throughout the summer before we get to Labor Day. Joshua chapter number 6. Looking forward to that. And Boogie, do you mind doing me a favor and bringing me my Bible that's right behind your row? Right there should be on my laptop. And if you'll just hand it to me, that'd be great. So I can follow along. That would be wonderful. And might need that. Appreciate it.
You bet.
Thank you, sir. All right, Joshua chapter number 6. Now, I'm going to need some help tonight from you guys. And Chandler, I'm going to get you to help me in just a few minutes. Is that okay? Okay, not yet. I'll tell you when, all right? But this is the second week of our midweek summer series, and this is where we get all of our kids involved in the service. So if they want to slide down front, they can. And just if they come down, just make sure they stay down. And that might be some of the reasoning that they're huddled close to you. That's fine. But last week, remember, we started talking about Jericho and how God told Joshua and the people that they were going to do something different and distinct. They were going to go to Jericho, and he said that he was going to be with them. Remember, we said, God's got this. And God had that message for Joshua and all the people that he was still in control. And then we saw that Joshua had to relay the information to the people. And he said, let's get busy. Let's do what God has commanded to us. And then we saw that the people had a choice. It wasn't just Joshua's decision. It wasn't just God telling them. It was something that they had to believe in. Something they had to do. And that's when we saw, let's follow him. We as a church said, let's follow him. And tonight we're going to see that they're going to start doing what God told them to do. But when we think about battles in our life, sometimes we fight battles that don't really make sense. Sometimes we have to do things in battle that doesn't really make sense to people around us. Sometimes we have to live a certain way that's different than what we might live otherwise. And it causes us to make choices. And one of those choices is this. We can either do it God's way or we can do it our way. And we can label it whatever else we want when we say our way, but that's really what it boils down to. We can either do it God's way or we can do it our way. The problem comes when we think that our way is somehow better than God's way, or it's going to turn out better than God's way. Remember, the people that they were that were going into the promised land, they're not soldiers. These are servants. These are slaves. These are people who have no military background, no military training. Just a few of them had experience in battle comparatively to the rest of the group. So this is a bunch of people who are way out of their league. They don't know what they're doing. And so it's no different for us today. We are truly out of our league in life. We really, you think about it, do you really know all the answers to your life? All right, now, kids, I want you to look back at these adults, and I'm going to ask the question again, okay? All right, turn around, all you guys sitting right here, all right? Look at your mom or dad or the adults in the room, and I'm going to ask the question again. Yeah, Kinsley is looking, staring at me. All right, moms, dads, adults, do we know all the answers in this life? Yes or no? No. No. And that's why we have God. God leads us. You say, well, preacher, why do my mom and dad tell me I have to obey them if they don't have all the answers? The hope and the prayer is that they will be connected to the one who does. That they will reach out and they will stay close to the one who does know all the answers, who does know the right direction we should go. And that's why we follow his plan instead of ours. So three thoughts tonight. Number one, if you're writing down notes, coloring your paper, number one, we see the objective. The objective. Look at Joshua chapter 6 and verse number 8. And if you want to follow along, the verses will be up on the screen tonight. It said, it came to pass when Joshua had spoken unto the people that the seven priests bearing the seven trumpets of ram's horns passed on before the Lord and blew with the trumpets, just like we had those ram's horns last week. Remember we talked about the ram's horns they had to blow. And then we talked about, we handed out all those ram horns, and it was awesome. If you weren't here last week, it was awesome hearing kids blow horns walking through the building. And maybe some of you parents have already hidden your children's horns at your house. But maybe they didn't even make it home. I don't know. But they had the horns. It says they passed on before the Lord, blew with the trumpets, and the ark of the covenant of the Lord followed them. Now, boys and girls, remind me, who, when we talk about the ark of the covenant, whose presence does the ark of the covenant represent? Who went with them in the battle? Who is that representing? All right, yep. It represented God, correct. Okay, so God is with them in the battle, but here's what God told them to do. And Joshua relays the message. He says, shh. He says, don't say anything. Chandler, you ready to help me?
Yeah.
All right, you are? High five with your good hand, okay? Do this for me. Come up here with me for a second. All right, now turn around at everybody else, all the grown-ups. All right, now I'm giving you permission to do this. You're not in trouble, okay? Here we go. Look at the grown-ups and go, shh. Okay? Now do it again, but like do it for real, for serious. Go. There you go. Okay. All right. So you can go sit back down. So Chandler, when I say Joshua looked at the people and he said, what are you going to do? You're going to go, shh. But you're going to stand up and do it, right? Right? Okay, good. All right. So you ready to practice? We're going to practice. Ready? Are you ready? Okay. Joshua told the people. There you go. Okay. All right. Joshua told the people, don't say anything. He told them to shh. So in these, every single day over these 6 days, Chandler, you can sit back down. And when I call on you, you jump up and go, shh. Okay? All right, you ready? Practice again. Joshua said, shh. There you go. Okay, he's got it. All right, so Joshua told the people, every single day we're going to march around these walls and we're not going to say anything. We're going to let the trumpets blow. And it's going to draw the attention to the Ark of the Covenant. It's going to draw the attention to what and who is leading us. It's going to put all of the attention on our leader instead of us. Now think about it like this, grown-ups. In our life, who should all of our attention be drawn to? It should be drawn to him, not to us. And we should make sure that people and our kids know that all of our attention is on our leader. It's not on our life. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify who? Your Father, which is in heaven, Matthew chapter 5 tells us. It's not about us in this life. It's all about pointing people to him. So when he talks about they weren't allowed to shout, that's weird. That doesn't make sense. Boys and girls, that's not normal. It doesn't make sense that they would shh and not say anything. Can you imagine all the people on the wall and looking out their windows from their houses and looking and say, what are y'all doing? And them not saying anything, not responding, and them making fun of them. It's hard to believe that God would ask them to do something that odd. But doesn't he do that in our life too? It might not be to not say anything. But when we think about the world and how they look at their lives, and you compare that to the life of a believer, our life's different. It's supposed to be different. When we say, hey, I'm going to church on a Wednesday night and everybody else is doing yard work and it's 90 degrees outside. I'd rather be in the AC. But you think about, that's different. When we have a Sunday and we say, hey, I'm not sleeping in, but I'm taking my family to church. That's different. And when we say, I'm going to start my day out, or I'm going to end my day, or at some point in my day, I'm going to devote a part of my day to reading God's word and spend time in prayer or sharing the gospel with someone, that's different. But that doesn't make it wrong. Just because something is different doesn't mean that it's wrong. And they were told, don't say anything. Joshua told the people, shh, don't say anything. As we walk around the city, don't say anything. It doesn't change the fact, when we think about this is odd, this is strange, this is weird, it doesn't change the fact that God said to do it and that God would honor it. You think about 1 Kings chapter 18, verse 21, our theme verse from last year. If the Lord be God, follow him. If God is who he said he is, and we believe that he is who he said he is, then shouldn't we follow him like he said that we should do? Think about Jesus said, Matthew chapter 16, verse 24, then said Jesus unto his disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. That's different. How about John chapter 10, verse 27? My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they what? Follow me. My sheep hear my voice, and they follow me. There's a lot of really tough questions to ask with that verse. If we're not following him, are we listening to his voice? If we're not following him, are we really one of his sheep? There's all kinds of questions, but those are different things. That's not the same. Our life is not supposed to look like everybody else's. It's supposed to be unique. It's supposed to be separate. That's what the 1 Corinthians chapter 6 word is. Tim Keller said this, I love this quote, most people want Jesus as a consultant rather than a king, and he does not come that way. Jesus is not our consultant, the person who just advises us. He's our king. He's the one who rules over our life. And for 6 days, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, every single day, six straight days, they do the same exact thing. How boring. Could you imagine getting up the same every single day and doing the same thing? Some of y'all are like, that's my life, Pastor. It's the same thing. But think about it. That's what they had to do every single day. We get up, we start at the break of day, we go, we march around the city one time, we don't say anything. Joshua said, shh. It was boring for six straight days. But you know what the whole point was? Are you willing to obey? Hey guys, when your mom and dad say, clean your room, make up your bed, take care of your laundry, brush your teeth, put your clothes in the hamper, they're not trying to be mean. You know what they're trying to teach you how to do? Obey. You know, when your boss tells you to do something you don't want to do, you know why God has that person in your life? God is trying to teach you through that authority in your life how to what, grown-ups? Obey. Because all of that is training for our relationship with God. We should obey him. And that is an example that we live out from the time that we're this age to the time that we're Rolf's age. All right? And that's young. But we're supposed to live that out. In our day-to-day lives, we all have to obey someone. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse number 1. You guys know the verse? Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is what? Fun? It doesn't say fun. Are you sure? It doesn't say good. Doesn't say anything else. It says what? For this is right. See, obedience isn't always fun, but it is always right. We obey because it's right. So the first thing Joshua said, as we're going around the city, Joshua said, there it is. He got it. He's down, okay? So Joshua said, shh, don't say anything. Number two, we see not only do we see the objective, we see the opportunity. The opportunity, all right? Now think about it like this, okay? Not only did he say, don't say anything, he said, number two, don't take anything. Don't take anything. In verse 16, look down at verse number 16. Saying, it came to pass on the seventh time when the priests blew with the trumpets, Joshua said unto the people, shout! Now, Joshua started by saying, shh. But now on day seven, he says, shout, make it loud, get loud. That's what he's telling them to do. For the Lord has given you the city, and the city shall be accursed. Now here it is. Even it and all that are in therein to the Lord, only Rahab the harlot shall live, she and all that are with her in her house, because she hid the messengers that we sent. Verse 18, and ye in any wise keep yourself from the accursed thing, lest you make yourself accursed. When you take of the accursed thing, make the camp of Israel accursed and trouble it. All the silver and gold and vessels of brass and iron are consecrated unto the Lord. They shall come into the treasury of the Lord. When you see the stuff that's laying there on the ground and it's shiny, it's like, ooh, I want that. Don't touch it. Leave it alone. Don't take anything. Why? Because Joshua told the people, hey, God told me, don't take anything. Don't touch, because it doesn't belong to us. It belongs to God. Now, this is where they have to prove that they could actually listen. Now, because Joshua said, shh, they got that. Six straight days marching around. Hey, we got that covered. But this was going to be tough. Remember, they're not soldiers. They're servants. So when they see something shiny that they don't have, what's their first response? They want it. They want it. Hey, I hadn't seen anything like that in my entire life. I've never seen something that nice. I want that. Have you ever watched one of those think tanks when the kids are brought into a room and they have a cookie or a cupcake and they say, you can have this, but I'm going to leave it right here in front of you. I mean, they make it such a big deal. I mean, they open the package. They talk about what their favorite is. You know, do you like chocolate or vanilla? Ooh, I have a chocolate one just for you. You know, and they tell them, you can have this, but you have to wait. And that's exactly what Joshua told the people. Hey, the first thing you see, God says, don't touch it. God said that he's going to give us what we need to survive, but we have to wait. It's no different in our life, adults. God will give us what we need, but we have to wait. And we can go out and try and make it on our own and say, well, I don't want to wait. Do you realize that that statement, I don't want to wait, is exactly what we're seeing lived out in the Middle East right now? I don't want to wait, Abraham. God said he's going to give us a son, but we don't have to wait on God. We can do it our own way. And we see that lived out right now in our day and age today. That phrase, I don't want to wait, that's the reason for the conflict. The whole thing between Ishmael and Isaac being lived out. You think about it today. Can you wait? Say, preacher, it's a cupcake, and I'm trying to quit. You know, it's more than a cupcake. It's always more than a cupcake. Can you wait? When we're given the choice of God's timing versus our timing, can you wait? When you're given, guys, when somebody says, your mom and dad don't know what they're talking about, you should do whatever you want to do. Hey, that's not somebody who's trying to speak truth into you. That's Satan trying to speak to you. And he's using other people. Hey, when you sit back and you say, man, I could have exactly what I want, but I'm going to have to sacrifice in a way that doesn't honor the Lord to get it, you better wait. You better wait. We look at our life. The things that we need to do while we wait are the right things, like spending time in God's Word, praying, making sure that our relationship is right with Him first and foremost. Because Satan will always dangle a cupcake in front of us and say, you can have it right now. And God says, oh, I'm going to give you what you need, but it's going to require you to wait. Wait on His time. Hey, I sure am glad that in my relationships, I waited. I sure am glad that God knew what was best for me when it came to my wife. I sure am glad that God knew what was best for us when it came to where we were going to work. And I had my life all planned out. I knew where I was going to work. I knew what I was going to do. I had it all lined up. And God said no. And sure, it would have been really easy just to go ahead and do our own thing, but not near as rewarding. And God said, wait. And when you wait and you're patient, God honors. And we need to be willing to wait. Have you ever heard somebody say, well, that's only going to affect me? You know, what I do only affects me. You know, think about Nehemiah. Remember the guy we talked about building the wall? You know, get back to work. Our t-shirts say, get back to work. Think about Nehemiah. When he found out all the stuff that happened back home in Jerusalem, and he was praying to the Lord in Nehemiah chapter 1, verse 6, he said that we have sinned. You know what he did? He put himself in the group. You know what's crazy about that? Nehemiah wasn't even there. It wasn't his fault that he was where he was. It wasn't his fault that he was in captivity. That wasn't him. He wasn't even alive then. But he said, I'm guilty just like they are because I'm a sinner. And guess what? That's who all of us are. We're all sinners. We cannot say, well, I didn't do it, because we've all done it. We're all guilty. And everything that they saw belonged to the Lord. But he said, don't take anything. Don't touch. Don't touch. He said, there you go. All right, so you got it. All right, so Joshua told the people. Good, all right. And then once they got in the city and the wall fell down flat, Joshua said, now when we get in there, there's going to be a lot of shiny things and you're going to want a lot of stuff. But here's what you need to remember. Don't touch. Don't take anything. That's going to be more important when we get a little bit further in the story in a couple weeks. But don't touch. Don't touch. You know, think about, we need to be careful by saying things belong to us when they really belong to God. Now, this is not our church. Remember, Jesus said in Matthew chapter 16, upon this rock I'll build my church. Jesus speaking, his church. So when I look at our church and I say, I'm going to make decisions that are best for me, and it doesn't belong to me, that's not the right way to look at it. How about when God says, Psalm 24, verse 1, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. So that means that I belong to him. I belong to God. Now think about it like this. For me to say that my body belongs to me and I can do whatever I want to, that's not biblical. This body doesn't belong to me. Your body doesn't belong to you. You are not your own, 1 Corinthians says. We've been bought with a price. So for me to say that I belong to me and I'm going to do what I want to do with my life because it's mine, that's against God's plan. For me to say, it's my church, I'm going to do what I want to, I'm the pastor. That's against God's plan. For us to say, it's our school, for you to say, it's your job, for you to say, it's your family, everything that we see belongs to him. Let me ask you this. If I borrowed your dog, how many of you guys have a dog? I know Caitlin does. You guys have a dog. Adelaide, if I said, I want to borrow your dog for a week, and your dog came to live at my house, would you want me to treat your dog the way I want to or the way that you want to? Why? Because I love my dog and I want them to be treated kindly. Get the spiritual application. Think about it like this. In our life, God has given us everything. but it doesn't belong to us. We are stewards of God's stuff. So if I borrowed your dog and I said, I'm going to treat it how I want to, hey, there's going to be a problem because it's not mine. And vice versa. If you borrowed my dog, I would want you to treat it the way I want it to be treated because it's mine, not yours. So if that's the case, then shouldn't we treat it or need to treat things the way the owner of those things says instead of the way we think? Oh, but Pastor, my way's better. You can't say that. Because who fails and who doesn't? We do, he doesn't. So if he owns it, we need to do it the way he says, not the way we do. So Joshua started and said, shh. And then Joshua said, once we get inside, don't touch. Don't take anything. And then lastly, we see the obedience. Look at verse 20. They got in, so the people shouted. They shouted. They stopped saying, shh. And they shouted. And the priest blew the trumpet. Came to pass when the people heard the sound of the trumpet, people shouted with a great shout. Wall fell down flat, so the people went up into the city, every man straight before him. They took the city, and they utterly destroyed all that was in the city, both man and woman, young and old, ox, sheep, ass, and with the edge of the sword. Everything. Now here's the thing. They had heard so much. They had heard, shh. And then Joshua said, don't touch. And then the last thing, as they were going in, you know what they had to remember? Or you know what their thought was? Don't forget. Don't forget. It was no longer the time to shh. But they still had to remember. Hey, don't speak. Don't touch. And when we get inside the city, don't forget. Don't forget. Because we've got orders. And so do we. We've got orders. Say, preacher, how do we know we have orders? Because it's right here. We got orders. Don't forget. You know, be ye doers of the word and not hearers only. It's not about just hearing it. It's applying it. It's doing it. They were supposed to march around the wall 7 times. They were supposed to shout when Joshua said to shout. They were supposed to run in. They were supposed to leave everything. And it was a sign to say that it all belongs to God. But it also showed something else. And this is the last thought. It showed that they were going to have to depend on God for everything. There were some cows there that would make really good steaks. There were some donkeys there that would have made really good animals to ride through the desert. And God said, don't touch. They're mine. That does not belong to you. Leave it alone. They had to say no to what they wanted. Not every decision that we make is supposed to make sense. That's why it's called faith. When you're reading your Bible and God puts something in your heart and you're like, that don't make sense. It's not supposed to. Have you ever, and I know there's people in the room, this is your story, and I won't ask you to share it. But have you ever prayed and God gave you peace about a direction, and it doesn't make earthly sense? And you're like, man, I just have peace about this. I just have something about this decision. I know I'm supposed to do this. And you might even talk to people and they say, that's nuts! Don't do that! That's crazy! And you do it and be like, man, this is the best thing I ever did because God blessed it. It happens. When we seek God's will, not every decision we make will make sense. God said, destroy everything. You can take the silver and gold and iron and brass in the tabernacle, but that's not theirs. It belongs to God. But everything else had to go. Think about Joshua and Caleb. Remember, what did Joshua say? Shh, that guy. What was one of the things about Joshua and Caleb? In Numbers 32, verse 11 and 12, surely none of the men that came out of Egypt from 20 years and upward shall see the land which I swear unto Abraham, unto Isaac, unto Jacob, because they have not wholly followed me. But what was said about Joshua and Caleb? Save Caleb, the son of Jephunneh. Can you imagine if your dad's name was Jephunneh? What's your dad's name? Bob. What's your dad's name? Jephunneh. Yeah. And Joshua, the son of Nun. Joshua is the only person in the Bible that didn't have parents. That's what it says. The son of Nun. Some of y'all get that later. But what does it say about them? They wholly followed the Lord. That's what made them stand out. Everything God told them to do, they did. How would you like to get to the end of your life and that be said about you? Everything that God said, you do. That is a choice. And it's a choice that all of us can make. Be doers of the word, not hearers only. James 1:22. So here we go. Are we going to obey when it doesn't make sense? When it's like, hey, we could say something, and Joshua told the people, shh. Hey, they're making fun of me. And Joshua says, tells the people, shh, there we go. Ooh, that's nice. I could use more clothes or some gold or some stuff. And Joshua said, shh, and don't touch. It's not yours. But then we have to remember, hey, don't forget. Don't forget. When we get in the heat of the moment, don't forget. When the temptation is right in front of you, don't forget. When you could, but you wonder whether or not you should, don't forget. Don't forget what he has said. And there's a group of people who go into Jericho. Man, they're excited. As we'll talk about next week and the week after, there was one guy who said, I can take a little bit. Nobody will know. And it cost a lot of heartache for a lot of people. Because one person couldn't get over that don't touch. And that one person, he might have remembered. He might have thought, well, don't forget. Yeah. But he justified it in his mind that it was okay. And that is where we get in trouble. When we think, it's not that big a deal. You know, partial obedience is still disobedience. When we do almost all of what we know we're supposed to do, but not all of what we're supposed to do, it's disobedience. So we have to decide, am I going to do it God's way or my way? Let's pray tonight. Father, we thank you so much for the day. Thank you for the truth of the story of Joshua and how it applies to our lives. Lord, help us to, Lord, when you speak, Lord, help us to be silent at times when you speak so that we can listen and hear everything you have to say. And Lord, when you allow us to be blessed, Lord, those seasons of blessing, Lord, help us not to forget what you've said. And there are some things in this life that we should not reach for, we should not touch, we should stay away from. Lord, we're supposed to stay away from sin. We're supposed to avoid the appearance of evil. Lord, I ask that you please help us to remember and not forget. Lord, help us not to touch those things. And Lord, I ask that you please help us to choose your way above our own, even when it might not make sense. Lord, please bless our evening. Help us to apply these truths to our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, we're going to go to our prayer time tonight. And just like last week, we are going to take prayer requests from our kiddos.